This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, from the D in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Three episodes every week of the College Football Betting Podcast. It's the Thursday breakdown of the card, and that means we bring in the one and only Matt Eumanns, who made a jaunt out to the islands last week and wished home a winner for the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Almost an outright winner, almost a double-digit dog coming home yet again. But Mr. Eumanns, week 12 of the college football season is here. How are we feeling?
You know, pretty good. It was a great trip to Honolulu. Like you said, it always wins. Always helps when you win the bet on the game. But it was a really good game Saturday night between UNLV and Hawaii 29-27. And like you said, the double-digit dog got there. This week, I like this card. I think there's some really good games on the card this week. I don't love the card from a betting perspective, but I've come up with some plays I do like this week. It's not I don't have a long list of bets this week like I typically do.
Yeah, you and I think each with six bets. We will get to all of those. We'll hit on some games that we don't even have bets on, but maybe a thought here or there. But ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, I think you know this by now, but we are 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, where we will be unbuckling the belt. We'll be nice and full because we'll be had a lovely meal. And our biggest games of the week, that's what we call it. Let's hit it.
The main course.
Yes, indeed. And we start down in Georgia, the number 12 Georgia Bulldogs right now sitting as around a 9.5-point favorite against Tennessee. And this market, it continues to fluctuate a little bit. We're seeing under money come into the market on this one right now as we record this number around 47, 46.5 starting to surface there. And that leads into my play, Matt. I don't have a side on this one. A lot of curiosity about the status of Nico Iamaleava, the quarterback of Tennessee, who left the Mississippi State game a week ago with a concussion, remained in concussion protocol throughout the week. I know our friend Chris Felica, the Bear, threw out something on a podcast that made the round saying he believed that he would not play in this game. You know, for me, Matt, I think Georgia is the right side here, but I can't trust Carson Beck, who continues to enjoy throwing the football to the other side. But I think this is a defense in Georgia that is going to be beyond pissed after what we saw last week, them get embarrassed by Ole Miss. And we've seen this team respond already once from a loss. I think they respond well in this spot, and that's why for me, I got a little cute. I'm going to go team total under 17.5. Juice varies. Earlier today, I was around minus 115, minus 120 at DraftKings. So we're going to go team total under for Tennessee. I would lean Georgia laying the points here. But like I said, can't trust this Georgia offense right now. And one thing to keep an eye on too, Matt, Dylan Sampson, who's been an absolute monster for Tennessee, rushed the ball 30 times last week. I do think he's a little banged up. Not to keep him out of the game. He's going to play, but I don't think he's anywhere near 100%. I think he struggles a little bit in this contest. So give me Tennessee team total under 17.5 against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I would think Nico is going to play in this game just based off Josh Heupel's comments. No, it's total BS. But even if he plays, I don't want anything to do with Tennessee here. This is Georgia or pass for me. I think the Bulldogs are going to bounce back with a bold statement after getting embarrassed by Ole Miss last week. Kirby Smart coach team, you would think, is going to respond to what happened last week in Oxford. And, you know, I was not much of a Carson Beck fan before the season. I'm much less of a fan now. You know, he's a pretty good example of what happens when a guy has distractions off the field and the quarterback's probably got too much hoopla surrounding him in terms of, you know, money and cars and women, and you're not focused on football. And that's one thing that keeps Tim Murray so great at VSiN. He doesn't get those distractions and doesn't get sidetracked by those things. Carson Beck has lost his way this season. He's thrown 12 interceptions. And you know what? If you can say, well, this one wasn't his fault, blah, blah, blah. There's been a lot of drops. I've watched all these Georgia games, and his play is just not up to the standard that Georgia Bulldogs need. And in this game, maybe that's going to change. I think Georgia's going to play at a much higher level in this game than it has recently, because Kirby Smart's going to have these guys motivated and ready to play. Georgia's dominated this series with Tennessee, and I think you're going to see the Bulldogs win this game possibly big. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to lay the points. I might play Georgia in some form on Saturday, but as of right now, I don't have a bet, but it'd be Georgia or nothing for me.
Yeah, and keep an eye out. If Nico does get ruled in, does that move the line one way or the other? But I like Georgia here in this spot, like you mentioned. But for me, team total under for Tennessee. I think Georgia's defense emerges and has a big performance like they did on the road to Texas, like they did the week after they got embarrassed by Alabama. That's been the constant, I would say, for this Georgia offense, or defense, I should say. And then lastly, you know, last week we mentioned it, desperation. Ole Miss needed to beat Georgia. They did. Georgia can ill afford a loss. If they lose, they're done. They are not making the college football playoff. So I think that certainly leads into this game as well. Tennessee only with one loss could lead to a lot of interesting scenarios, needless to say, if Georgia does win this game. Matt, let's go late night. You and I both had the Utes last weekend, and boy, it was easy until it wasn't. We got there, thankfully, Utah, getting us to cover town. But boy, it got a very, very interesting, especially when you got the pitchy-pitchy woo-woo on the last possession of the game there for the Utes. We could get to Utah's game a little bit later on in the show, but BYU, boy, the rabbit's foot continues for this Cougars team. And then if you're a casual who has not been following college football and you walked into a sports book here in Las Vegas, you looked up at that big board and you said, hold on, 9-0 BYU is only a 2.5-point favorite against 3-6 Kansas. What am I missing? But, Matt, you were on Kansas last week. Good hit by you. Kansas dominated that game, and one of the more snake-bitten teams this year in Kansas. I like them here in this spot. I'll let you jump in first. But Kansas at BYU late night in Provo.
I would say the two most excuse me, snake-bitten teams in college football have been Cal and Kansas this season. Jayhawks have 6 losses, and they led in the fourth quarter in all 6 of those losses, and they were all tight, obviously. And I thought last week was going to be a bust-out performance for the Jayhawks. Well-coached team for Lance Leipold that is not quitting at all on the season, still has a shot to get to a bowl game. And that was a performance I was hoping for. 532 total yards for the Kansas offense. And Jalen Daniels only completed 12 passes, but for 295 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He ran for 68 and a touchdown. And this Kansas team is going to be playing with a lot of confidence going out to BYU. Look, I was on Utah last week. I was on Kansas. I think it's a pretty easy decision here to go with the Jayhawks and the points. Not saying it's going to be an easy result, but you got BYU off its Holy War Super Bowl win. And in a spot where the pressure is going to start to get cranked up a little bit on the Cougars. And they've needed 2 miracles so far this season. On a Friday night against Oklahoma State in Provo, and then last Saturday night against Utah in Salt Lake City. And I think at some point when you keep playing with fire, you get burned. We saw it with Miami Hurricanes a week ago. So Circus Sports opened this 4, BYU minus 4, and the market completely moved to 2.5 on Wednesday. I got Kansas here plus 3. I think you might have 3.5, but the situation just dictates that I feel like I have to play the dog here.
Yeah, first bet of the week for me was throwing it in over at VSiN.com/picks, one of the many perks you get as a VSiN Pro subscriber. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for less than $10 a month right now to check it all out. But that was the first bet that I threw into our picks page there, was Kansas plus the 3.5. On Sunday before Circa opened, you could actually get a 4.5 at DraftKings on this game. I wish I had gotten that number. Settled for the 3.5. I would be patient here if you're looking to grab the dog. I think 3s will show up. I know there's a couple shops here in Vegas that I think still have 3s, Stations Casino, maybe a South Point out there. So I think you might get a 3 reemerge at some point on Saturday, because I think the public is definitely going to jump in on the BYU Cougars. I think Kansas wins this game outright. I have money line on this game as well. So I look at Jalen Daniels, a guy that has dealt with so many injuries throughout his career, Matt, and I like Kansas here in this spot. You can get the three. That's an official play for me. All right, one more game of our main course before we hit a break. NBC primetime, 7:30 Eastern, number one Oregon, Matt, heads to Madison to take on the Wisconsin Badgers. Boy, the Badgers feel like they have hosted a bunch of big-time games this year. Oregon didn't look all that great last week, didn't get to cover town against Maryland. Anything you like in Oregon at Wisconsin on Saturday night?
Well, I'm going to take another shot here. I took a shot with Wisconsin, plus the points at home against Penn State, and that looked good until it didn't look good in the fourth quarter. And I think at some point here, the Badgers got to stand up tall in the dog roll at home. We've seen it for so long in Madison. We've seen it so many times with Luke Fickell. We just haven't seen it with this team. I think this could be the spot because Oregon's played, you know, big game after big game, and the pressure does mount a little bit when you get to this point. I think Dylan Gabriel is going to be the Heisman winner. So I said this week, if you haven't bet the Heisman yet, you're going to bet one guy today. That's who I would bet. 22 touchdown passes for Gabriel so far. And the Ducks did burn me with that late score and the win at Michigan. That Michigan offense was completely incompetent. Hopefully Wisconsin can move the ball a little bit and the defense can stay in the game. I've got to take 14 with the Badgers here.
Music to my ears, Matt. That would be a lovely situation for me as I've peppered the board with different Heisman bets, and none of them seem to be alive except for Dylan Gabriel, 18-1. Come on, Dylan. Come on home. Yeah. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. The main course in the books, but boy, to boy, do we have a whole bunch of spicy matchups to get to. Stick around. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. Once again, the website, forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. A couple of bets already in the hopper. Team total under for Tennessee for yours truly, both Matt and I on the Jayhawks of Kansas, and then Matt taking the 14 with the Badgers out in Wisconsin. Those three games are main course, but Matt and I, we love after eating that Thanksgiving dinner the next day to go visit a Taco Bell and get a little spicy food in our lives. So let's hit those matchups this weekend.
Spicy matchups.
I got a bunch of them for you, and we're going to rifle through a bunch of games here, and we'll start noon Eastern. Matt, you and I have tried to swear off these noon Eastern games, but we can't help ourselves. You don't have a bet in this game, but I do. Texas is visiting Arkansas, and this is a game where we've seen a decent amount of line movement here. Texas from 15 down to around 12 and a half. It's funny, we send in our plays to producer Wyatt on Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, and there were 13 and a halves out in the market. And I said, here's what I did. I bought up the 14 with Arkansas, and I took some Arkansas first half. Well, I'm not going to ask people to buy two full points here with Woo Pig Suey. So let's see how this number moves around. I would most like the 14 with Arkansas. Look, Arkansas coming off a bye this year hasn't been great. I think you and I and many others liked Woo Pig Suey in a spot against LSU, and that one went sideways in a hurry. But there is some true disdain between Arkansas and Texas. And for Sam Pittman, I saw this nugget courtesy of Stuckey over at the Action Network. 10-3 ATS. is Sam Pittman as a double-digit dog. We saw earlier this year as a double-digit dog, Arkansas getting the outright victory over Tennessee at home. So I'm going to take another crack at Arkansas here against Texas. You know, it's interesting to note, Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook, Matt, came on VSiN Primetime on Wednesday evening, and he has Texas as his number two power-rated team. And I'm not going to disagree with Matt, but I do think there's a little bit of inflation on this Texas team. We haven't seen them beat anyone really of note just yet. I wouldn't say beating Arkansas would be a team of note, but I think Arkansas gives them everything here. They were obviously exposed the last time we saw them as Jackson Dart lit them up for, it felt like, a million passing yards. But I think you get the best effort from Arkansas. I think you get some unique wrinkles from Bobby Petrino from an offensive standpoint. Talen Green expected to be fully healthy. This is a team getting healthier coming off the bye. I'm going to take the points. I'm going to split my unit, +7 in the first half, +14 for the full game. That's the way I'm going to look at Texas at Arkansas. Noon Eastern. What could go wrong, Matt, with a 9 a.m. local kick bet from us?
Yeah, I hate the 9 a.m. starts. I hate to bet those, and you lose a game early, and you're angry for half the day until you can finally win a game. But, as you know, these schedules are loaded with so many big, 9 a.m. matchups, so you can't avoid them sometimes. I wanted to bet Arkansas here, but I didn't get the number. Dan Saley, college football handicapping specialist from Vegas, he bets these Circus Sports openers every Sunday morning. I didn't pull the trigger quickly enough. Dan got Arkansas +15. Since I didn't get the Hogs as that number, I'm not going to play it. I didn't get 14 either. And I saw this trend in Mark Lawrence's newsletter, Playbook Sports. Arkansas is 1-9 against the spread the last 10 at home. Is that right? Because the one win was against Tennessee, and I didn't double-check his trend. So if it's wrong, blame Mark. But that's a horrendous home spread mark, if that's true. Sam Pittman does have a pretty good dog mark, but I went ahead and passed on the Arkansas here, but that would be the side I would play if I played it.
All right, Woo Pig Suey, don't let me down. Embarrassing. Last time we bet on Arkansas against LSU, but hopefully with a little more cushion, Arkansas keeps this one competitive. Let's go to Wrigley Field, also noon Eastern. This one can be seen on the Big Ten Network. You've got Ohio State taking on Northwestern, and a big old spread here for the Buckeyes. Both you and I have an angle on this game. I'll let you start, Matt, on this one. Ohio State laying 28.5. Next two games, worth noting, Indiana at home, and then the game against Michigan.
Yeah, I think the Buckeyes got to be looking ahead a little bit to the two big games to finish regular season, and you got to be looking a little bit past the Purple Cats here. They could get a big lead, let off the gas, and look ahead. Or, you know what, the Wildcats just might show up and give them a game anyway, because last week, if you watched Purdue-Ohio State, if Purdue was not so incompetent offensively, that would have actually been a competitive game. Purdue was in Ohio State territory several times, came up with nothing, including a clown kicker missing a 21-yard field goal attempt. And Ohio State needed a late score, I think after a turnover on downs that Purdue gave the ball back. And it was a 14-0 game, and it could have been a tight game at the half last week. And that Purdue team is basically a dead man walking. And so I think the Wildcats, who come up big in the underdog role sometimes, and they were competitive against Indiana early in the season in a similar situation. I think they can hang in this game. It's actually kind of comical when you look at the Northwestern offensive stats. Jack Lausch is the starting quarterback. He's got 5 touchdown passes. Northwestern has played 3 quarterbacks this season, and they have a combined 5 TD passes. How is that possible that this team's even won 4 games? The defense allowing 26.3 points in 6 Big Ten games. If they can hold the Buckeyes from exploding in the first half here, I think Northwestern can cover this big number, because, like you said, the Buckeyes should be looking ahead. Northwestern +28.5.
I'm going to go with the total here, and I'm going to go under the total. I believe there's a 45 out there. I took 45 at a local shop here in Vegas. I'll give it out at 44.5 because that's the consensus number. But similar to what you said, I think as this game gets late, I think Ohio State maybe takes their foot off the gas. These two teams, it just feels like it's going to be a 28-3 type of game. I'm curious if Northwestern, to your point, is going to be able to have any sustained success offensively in this game. But I think Ohio State, look, could be a little sleepy, could be a little windy there at Wrigley Field, always weird dimensions in a baseball stadium. So I'll kind of play off yours, I think, as a correlation. If you like Northwestern, probably like the under. So give me under 44.5 in this one. Also noon Eastern, 10 in Boulder, 10 a.m. as Colorado takes on Utah. And Matt, I wanted to throw this game on. I don't think either one of us have a bet on the current price, but my curiosity with this game is, where is the mindset of Utah? You and I do not lay numbers all that often, especially big numbers, but I would potentially look at Colorado here. Here's why. Utah, coming off of that devastating loss, the season is an absolute nightmare for Utah. You think about Cam Rising being done for the season. The kid Rose, the backup quarterback, he's now done for the year. Keithy, the tight end, done for the year. Andy Ludwig, you know, retired. So he's done for the year. The offensive coordinator, longtime OC for Kyle Whittingham. The AD's making a fool of himself after the game. I don't know how this team responds with a 10 a.m. local kick. And then on the flip side, Matt, Colorado clearly wants to get Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders to New York City in early December to try to win this Heisman Trophy. I think Colorado, if they're able to find success against this very good defense of Utah, I think this could be a potential blowout. So I don't do this often, but I would either lay it or pass, and I would actually look maybe at some alt lines, because I think it could potentially get ugly for Colorado against Utah. And I think there's a chance, Matt, with this game being at noon Eastern on Fox, that Coach Prime is going to want to put on a statement there for Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. I think some alt lines could be a way to look. I think Colorado could absolutely blow the doors off of Utah.
That could happen. I'd be a little bit careful with that, just because the Utah defense is so good. You know, allowing about 17 points per game, I don't think Kyle Whittingham's defense is going to lay down and just get beat to a pulp. So I hate the situation. I'm not going to bet the Utes. I'm not even considering it, because the way that team's got to be deflated off that loss in Salt Lake City on Saturday night. Jake Retzlaff was overwhelmed. He didn't even have time to look for a receiver. He's sacked. Crowd's going crazy. Game's over. Oh, hold on. There's a flag on the field, defensive holding. And, man, that's just such a deflating way to lose a game. And I hated the flag. It's such a BS call. And, you know, Utah still had a chance to win it. Then they give up a 30-yard pass by Retzlaff out to midfield. And at that point, you knew BYU was probably going to win the game. I just think it's too deflating emotionally for the Utes to go on the road in this spot. And I would say win. Can they hang within 10? Maybe, but I'm not taking the points, even though Whittingham's typically good in the dog roll. I don't care about those trends here. I think Colorado could roll, like you said, but I don't think the Utah defense is going to lay down. So this is going to be a pass.
Yeah, not official play for me, but worth noting. That would be the way I would look. Real quickly before we hit a break, Tulane at Navy, ESPN2 also at noon. Navy 19-1. In their last 20 senior days with fans in the stands. Quite the challenge and quite a bit on the line with the Green Wave headed to Annapolis to take on Navy. We keep it rolling. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Just a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe. Please hit us with that five-star rating. And just a couple sentences, like Matt Eumanns is the best college football handicapper in the world. And I think that would be suffice. And just throw that into the old iTunes chart there. All right, a lot more games to get to. Let's go to the afternoon window, 2:30 Eastern, FS1, a Big Ten showdown. Brad Powers earlier this week on VSiN Primetime, his favorite play since at the time, Matt, Kansas had dipped down below 3. He moved to Michigan State catching three at Illinois. We've seen a little bit of movement, but still hanging at three. No play for me. You've always had a pretty good read on the Big Ten. So any thoughts on Michigan State at Illinois? Sparty catching three on the road at Illinois.
You know, I would probably, if I played it, it would be Michigan State. Spartans 2-4 in the Big Ten, and this Illinois team just kind of Jekyll and Hyde. You don't know what you're going to get from one week to the next. The Illini have won three of their six Big Ten games. I would be on Brad's side if I played it, but I don't really have a strong opinion here, so it's going to be a pass.
Yeah, total sitting at three, or spread sitting at three. We've seen a little bit of movement. Actually opened two, believe it or not, at Circa. Got up to four and now hanging out at three. So a unusual start time, 2:30 Eastern, by the way, on FS1. Normal start time, 3:30 Eastern on CBS. We've got number four Penn State at Purdue. The Boilermakers are quite a disaster from basically everything, but they're a 28.5-point home dog here. Total sitting at 51 across the board. Matt, I know you've got a thought on this one. Penn State at Purdue. What are you looking at here?
Well, James Franklin is the bully, right?
Sure is.
Penn State 9-1 against the spread as Big Ten road favorites of 17 points or more. That means James Franklin is more than willing to roll up the score if he can. This Penn State team has not been real explosive offensively, really since the non-conference season. But I think Penn State's high in the Big Ten was last week, 35 points against Washington. Nittany Lions did score 33 against USC. But I think this is a type of game where the Lions are going to put up 40-plus. And you just need Purdue to hit the scoreboard. I mean, like I said last week against Ohio State, it was a joke. Hudson Card led that offense into Ohio State territory multiple times. And then the offensive breakdown, or you have a kicker miss a chip shot. I think Purdue will put up some points here against Penn State. Not a lot, but if you get 10 to 14, that should be enough. I think Penn State rolls. This is what James Franklin does best, is win these games against bad teams. He's the bully in the Big Ten. And I'll bet on Penn State to win this game something in the neighborhood of, like, let's say 48-10.
Interesting one next week just to keep an eye on for Penn State, who looks like they're just going to cruise on into the college football playoff with no wins over top 25 teams and might have a pretty good number by their name. They go to Minnesota next week, and you and I have bet on Minnesota a couple times this year. In that dog roll, DraftKings opened that up 10. Could be an interesting spot next week for the Nittany Lions on the road at Minnesota, but as for this week, I don't anticipate much turbulence at all against the Boilermakers, a team that absolutely obliterated the Boilermakers earlier this year was Notre Dame 66-7, and they get UVA on Saturday, also 3:30. Pretty big number here for the Irish. Three games left for Notre Dame in the regular season. Number has ticked up as high as 23.5 at DraftKings. Circa sits at 22.5. Look, Notre Dame, believe it or not, and I found this out, you know, they've got some ugly losses, Matt, under Marcus Freeman. 28-point favorite, Northern Illinois. 20.5-point favorite against Marshall. 16-point favorite against Stanford. But since Marcus Freeman has taken over, Notre Dame, believe it or not, is the number one cover team in college football. They're hitting at a 67% clip. Last week they did so against Florida State. I think Notre Dame on senior day shouldn't have much issue here. Virginia coming off a very impressive win a week ago, a side that I think you and I both liked against Pitt. So Anthony Calandria can run it a little bit, the quarterback, but throw some picks. And then I will keep an eye on this. They have two running backs in Kobe Pace and Xavier Brown. Notre Dame does seem a bit susceptible at times on running right up the middle, and it's worth noting Howard Cross, Notre Dame's best defensive lineman, will be out for this game. But I like Notre Dame's offense right now. It seems to be humming, and I think they take care of business here. I wouldn't not crazy about laying the number, but the number has moved a little bit here up to 23.5. So Notre Dame has had success certainly a bit on senior day. 3:30 Eastern there for NBC. Matt, anything on Notre Dame UVA for you?
No, I would like to take the Cavs on the points, but just don't feel comfortable doing it. Probably be an uneasy 3.5-4 hours watching that game if you take the Cavs on the points. Because this Notre Dame offense has kind of been a groove. Like you said, that blowout win over Purdue, that was the beginning of the end of the Boilermakers season. But I think that's when the Irish, that was a wake-up call for them, right? When they lost Northern Illinois, they came back the next week. They've been pretty much a different team since then, Tim. You really haven't had to sweat much. The game against Louisville got a little tight, but I think the Irish have done a great job, to use your phrase, taking care of business. They blew out Stanford 49-7, Navy 51-14, Florida State 52-3. So I do think the Irish kind of found their groove here. I really, really don't want to lay the points, but I'm not going to bet against them.
Yeah, Notre Dame, Army next week as a 15.5-point favorite at Yankee Stadium. And the tricky one, we'll see how Jaden Maiava fits into that USC offense, but that could be a tricky one to wrap up the regular season. Also 3:30, Matt, let's go to Gainesville. Florida seems like will start DJ Lagway a week ago. I'm kicking myself for not laying it with Texas. That seemed like a great spot. You know, Florida gives it everything they've got against Georgia. They go to Texas off a bye where the Longhorns, and they absolutely hammer Florida. Now, Florida catching four at home, and you got to be curious about the mindset of LSU here in this spot. Their season, for all intents and purposes, is over. They're not going to the college football playoff with three losses. I know there's a crazy scenario where they could backdoor their way into the SEC championship game, but you know, when you have your season essentially ruined and you get absolutely embarrassed at home, how do you respond now going on the road to take on Florida? So I haven't gotten here yet, but I'm getting closer and closer to thinking about maybe taking the Gators here plus the points.
Well, do we know what the Gators quarterback situation is going to be? Is DJ Lagway got any shot to play?
I think so. I need certainty, but I think that DJ Lagway will go.
You know, and even if he plays, is he going to be able to play the whole game with that injury? And I don't want the quarterback situation for the Gators if he's not out there. I've got a pass on this just because of the uncertainty of the Florida quarterback situation.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Same time, let's go 3:30 Eastern, CBS Sports Network. Oregon State at Air Force. Last week, San Jose State was a winner for me against Oregon State. Now they go on the road. Look, Air Force for a while, Matt, was just dreadful. They get to cover town against Army in what was a disgusting game to watch if you had Air Force plus the points. And then last week, you're wondering, like, where the hell was this all year long? They ran for 344 yards against Fresno State. They were one of two double-digit dogs to win outright last week, them and Georgia Tech. And I'm wondering, with a terrible run defense like Oregon State has, it seems like things are falling apart here a bit for the Beavers. You go to Air Force in a weird, funky game up in elevation. I'm going to go ahead and take the points here with Air Force. I took four earlier in the week, still playable for me at 3.5, and maybe I'll be kicking myself, but I think Air Force may have finally found some life. And one thing we know about service academies, Matt, they'll keep fighting, you know, even if they're worth a winless or whatever. So I think Air Force maybe found a little bit of a groove. I'll take them as a home dog against a pretty putrid run defense in Oregon State. Give me the 3.5.
Yeah, you got a couple teams out here on the West Coast where it's like, the wheels are falling off, and one is Oregon State, maybe, and the other is Fresno State.
Yeah,
Fresno State losing to Hawaii and Air Force. How great is that box score to look at a week ago? Fresno State Air Force, the Falcons rolled up 358 total yards, and 14 of those yards were passing. 14 passing yards by Hayes, the quarterback. I think the Falcons are a That is a buy sign for Air Force, what happened a week ago. And I've been a little bit reluctant with this team because I've seen some really ugly performances out of the Falcons this season. But I think you're on the right track here because I'm probably going to play Air Force too.
80 rush attempts last week for the Air Force Falcons. Just insane. Mm-hmm. All right, quick thoughts on this one. No play for me, but I'm curious. Maiava gets the start, the UNLV transfer, USC off a bye. Talk about two teams headed in the wrong direction, Matt. We got about 20 seconds. Quick thoughts on Nebraska at USC.
Well, I'm excited to see this game because Nebraska's got Dana Holgorsen now calling the plays, and you think it's going to be maybe a new-look Nebraska offense, but I'm more excited to see UFC with Jordan Maiava, the UNLV transfer quarterback, because Miller Moss just did not have the mobility when the pressure was on and the offensive line would break down. Moss could not get away from pressure and make plays, and I think Maiava can. And USC really needs a get-right type of game. I'm not sure if this is it, so I'm not playing the points.
USC as high as 9, as low as 7.5 at some shops. We put a bow on the show. More bets to come. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Hey, folks, just a reminder, when I say farewell, I'm lying. We're going to break down those Friday games just for you here on the podcast. A pretty good Friday night card as well. So stick around at the conclusion of the podcast for a little bonus time for Friday night games.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Working our way through a busy Week 12 card. We'll have our best bet recap coming up at the end of this segment. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Just a reminder, become a VSiN Pro subscriber for less than 10 bucks a month right now. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. And also, we've got our brand new app, the VSiN Watch app. Get it wherever you get your apps, the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. It is free. You can listen to us. You can watch old shows and do all of that. So make sure you check out the VSiN Watch app. All right, a couple more games, Matt, to work our way through before we get to our best bet recap. I'll run through this one quick because I know you have no real thought on it. We've got number 23 Missouri at number 21 South Carolina. This one 4:15 on the SEC Network. South Carolina, man, you talk about if a couple results went the other way, what would we potentially be looking like with this South Carolina team? Should have beat LSU at home, almost got there against Alabama. Instead, they're 6-3, a dominant performance, came home in the under. I'm going to go back to the well here on the under, and I'm actually going to split my unit on this one and check around on team totals. I was able to get under 14.5 for the team total of Missouri on Wednesday evening. So I think Missouri, with Brady Cook listed as doubtful, look, Drew Pine, bless your heart. You were able to win some football games at Notre Dame as a backup. You were able to throw a late touchdown pass against Oklahoma. I don't know how that overhit late night in Missouri, Oklahoma, but I think the magic runs out here. This South Carolina defensive line might be the best defensive line in the country, if not one of the best defensive lines. I think they get after Drew Pine a lot. I think there's constant pressure. So a split unit play for me. I think under 44 the total, under 14.5 the team total is the way I will go here in the SEC, SEC Network at 4:15. Let's get to the Mountain West, Matt. Undefeated Boise State on the road at San Jose State. Shouts to my guy, Ken Niumatalolo, getting the win outright last week for the Spartans against Oregon State. They win that game. They get the bowl eligibility, a team that was fourth in the country in least returning production, so 131 entering this year. Coach Ken's a phenomenal coach. He's a good coach as a dog. They have one of the best wide receivers in the country in Nick Nash. So can San Jose State, Matt, as a 14-point home dog, be feisty against Boise State here?
Yeah, I think so. And in fact, I remember a similar situation between these teams in 2016, and I think Boise ended up winning that game by 14. It might have been 31-17. And I could see something like that playing out here, but hopefully the Spartans are a little bit more competitive and have a shot to win. You know, I go back to this Boise-Hawaii game about a month ago when the Broncos were up 13-7 early in the fourth quarter on the road and ended up pulling away late to win that game by double digits, but it was tight. And I think the Broncos are going to have to sweat this one out, too. When you were ripping off the attributes of San Jose State, you did not mention one of the strongest home field advantages in college football. That's one thing you did not mention. And it's not like Death Valley at night or anything like that. That's one thing that concerns me a little bit. I think Bronco fans are going to fill the stadium.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like a true home dog situation. Emmett Brown for San Jose, a quarterback that's not going to blow you away. But Nick Nash can. 86 receptions, 13 touchdowns, and he's a big-time playmaker. And as you mentioned, Coach Ken's done a hell of a job with this team, man. I've been pretty impressed watching San Jose and how tough this team plays. So I think the Broncos could be in for a bit of a struggle here in San Jose, and I'm taking the 14. You know, I got a couple of 14-point home dogs here in Wisconsin and Boise State that I'm not overconfident in these two, but I expect them to both show up, and hopefully they do.
Yeah, we've seen a double-digit dog. We talked about this last week, Matt. I talked about it on Wednesday's episode with you, Wes Reynolds, about the double-digit dogs that continue to bark. And I think San Jose State Arkansas, maybe New Mexico against Washington State are all potential options of outright upsets. Adding to what we've seen from Nick Nash, you know, Ashton Jeanty certainly has gotten all the accolades in the Mountain West, rightfully so. But Nick Nash leads the country in touchdown receptions, in receptions, receptions per game, receiving yards, and receiving yards per game. He has had a phenomenal year and certainly could be in the discussion for the Biletnikoff Award. Arizona State is at Kansas State. We got to give this a shout-out because our colleague Stormy Bonatoni will be in the Little Apple for this one. K-State coming off a bye, licking their wounds after losing as a double-digit favorite against Houston in the rain. Cam Scadabo should be back for Arizona State. No play for me on this one. I'm just hoping carnage starts to happen, Matt. I still think Kansas State's the best pound-for-pound team in the Big 12, but because they messed around and went ahead and lost to Houston, they are in trouble here, and they need a lot of help in order to get to the Big 12 championship game. So I think they take care of business. I would actually lean favorite here, but no play for me in this one. I think Wes Reynolds does like Kansas State. Any thoughts on ASU K-State?
I'm going to play K-State. I'm not going to lay the eight, but I'm either going to play it on a money line parlay or something. I'll bet it live if I can get a better number. But I do like the situation. Don't sleep on K-State. That was a bad loss at Houston. But, again, this is my preseason pick to win the Big 12. And Chris Klieman's team is still alive here. And I think K-State could get it done. So if Scadabo is not back, that's a big bonus. I think he probably will be back for Arizona State. But, you know, no matter what, I like K-State.
K-State now plus 650 to win the conference. I bet him at plus, 320 before they lost to Houston. I think if you got some couch change, I wouldn't say throwing it on K-State there wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, especially if BYU loses on Saturday to Kansas. And then Colorado, they have to play Kansas next week too, and I think that could be a tricky one there for the Buffs. Final game we'll hit on, a best bet for you. Let's go in our backyard, Allegiant Stadium, 10:30 Eastern, CBS Sports Network, San Diego State at UNLV. You watched the Rebels struggle mightily against Hawaii. They got to the window. Our Rainbow Warriors did. Total sitting at around 54, 54 and a half. 21 is the number out there at some shops. What do you got for San Diego State, UNLV?
Well, hopefully we got a lot of scoring. And we got fireworks on Friday, on Saturday night in Vegas. I'm used to UNLV playing so many Friday night games. But Saturday night against San Diego State, it's not the typical Aztecs defense, even though San Diego State has had some better defensive performances here later in the season. Hey, look, the Rebels had the potential to put up a lot more points last week against Hawaii. They basically had two touchdowns called back by penalties and still won that game 29-7. UNLV, top five scoring offense in the nation, 43 points a game. Now, Haj Malik Williams is a real deal, man. He can get outside the pocket and make plays. The Hawaii defense came up with a bunch of stops in the first half last week. I don't think San Diego State's going to do that here. Haj Malik Williams so far, 64% completions, 13 touchdowns. He's got almost 1,200 yards passing and over 600 yards rushing for a quarterback who's made, six starts this season? And he's got a combined 19 touchdowns. I really like what this UNLV offense is doing, at least the potential of it in this game against San Diego State. And on a Saturday night, Tim, one of the last games on the board, I think the last game on the board, let's root for points. Let's say a shootout in Vegas and go over the total of 54.
All right, let's do it, and let's recap our best bets to close out the show.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, I'll let you have at it first. You've got six bets on your card this weekend.
Yeah, I'll probably end up betting a lot more games, but no big, really big bets this week. A lot of games I like, nothing I really love on the card. A couple of totals, Penn State, Purdue over 51. We just talked about San Diego State, UNLV over 54. Let's go with the big dog, Purple Cats, Northwestern, plus 28.5 against an Ohio State team that you got to think is looking ahead to Indiana and Michigan the next 2 weeks. A couple more pretty big dogs. 14-point dogs, home dogs, Wisconsin against Oregon and San Jose against Boise State. And then, Tim, I got one short dog, and I know you've got it too. And even though Kansas opened up 4 at Circa this week, now the number's down to 2.5. You and I both, you got a better number than I do. I've got Kansas plus 3 here against BYU.
All right, there are Matt's six plays for the week. Mine are a little convoluted, but let's run through mine. Six official plays if you talk about total unit plays. We'll start with Kansas, the common play of the week for Matt and myself. I think be patient here. I think you'll still get a three. Look around. I believe Stations here in Vegas still has a three, so you might be able to get a three before kickoff here. We're going to go Tennessee. Team total under 17.5. I think this Georgia defense is going to fly around down there in Athens. All right, Arkansas, they're hosting Texas. Plus 7, first half, half unit, plus 14. We bought it up to 14 at a half unit as well. Now, that might get a little rich now since it went down to 12. Missouri, team total under 14.5, half unit on that. We'll also go full game under Missouri and South Carolina. And then last two plays, Air Force plus 3.5 and Ohio State, Northwestern under 44.5. All right, that's going to do it for the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks to producer Wyatt, producer Ryan, producer Sean. For Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Let's have ourselves a winning weekend. As Matt likes to say, we want winners.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, Matt. Friday Night Lights, we've got four games. We've got a Mountain West game, a conference that you and I both love to bet. We've got North Texas, who I am very angry with. And we've got a couple, we got a Pac-12 game, or a Big Ten game now, excuse me, Houston and Arizona as well. So let's start with the border war. Wyoming, Colorado State, no play for me. I would love for the Pokes to win this game outright. Look, I have no negativity towards Jay Norvell and the Colorado State Rams. I just don't want Colorado State in the Mountain West Championship game. I think UNLV Boise Part 2 would be much better. But Colorado State, Matt, you look at their schedule right now remaining. Wyoming at Fresno State, who seems to be falling off a cliff very fastly. And then Utah State at home. Colorado State is going to be a favorite in the final three games and more than likely headed to the Mountain West Championship. So come on, Jay Sauvell, pull off the upset here in the border war.
You know, if this number goes back to 10, I might take the Cowboys. This is a big rivalry. I think it's an under-the-radar rivalry. A lot of people don't know about unless you follow the Mountain West Conference. And the Cowboys are going to be up for this game. They're going to try to spoil. They're going to try to be the spoiler makers, basically. And Colorado State, I think, is a fraudulent team, Tim. Oh, yeah. 4-0 in the Mountain West. Look at this week's schedule. Take a step up in competition, get their butts kicked by Colorado. There's so much here that makes me want to bet Wyoming until I look deeply at the Wyoming team. And then I say, I don't know, maybe not. Because aside from the Cowboys winning that game 49-45 in New Mexico, there's not much on that resume that tells you, hey, there's a buy sign here on the Cowboys. They did beat Air Force 31-19, but this is a 2-7 Wyoming football team. I think the switch of quarterbacks, Tim, might be big. I don't know if you paid attention to what's happening with the quarterback situation for Wyoming, but Sauvell went to Caden Anderson, the quarterback against New Mexico. He threw for 342 yards and three touchdowns. Harrison Whaley ran for 170 yards in that game. And that was after Evan Sabota basically was a bust. He was supposed to be the next Josh Allen or some type of Josh Allen. That never materialized. And Anderson, I don't know if that was for real or it was a fluke, but that could be a buy sign here on the Cowboys. And I am going to give this side a look on a Friday night because I think this Colorado State team's a fraud.
By the way, in that game against New Mexico, the Lobos ran for 412 yards against Wyoming in the losing effort. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll run through this one quickly because we do have some late-night ones of interest that I could potentially get involved in. But North Texas at UTSA, all I want to say is, my God, man, North Texas. I had North Texas last week under the, I thought, pretty good assumption that Bryson Daly wouldn't play for Army. He does play. North Texas, whose defense is a sieve, only gives up 14 points. They muster three against Army. How about inside the five-yard line, four possessions leading to 3 points, two interceptions in the end zone, just a complete implosion by North Texas. They're a one-point favorite on the road at UTSA. I'll say this, with a total of 72.5, you probably will be able to get plus money on both sides. So if you're looking to live bet a game, this might be a good one just to sit back and grab points with both sides, because it seems like we're going to get a whole lot of points there between North Texas and UTSA. Let's get to UCLA-Washington, Matt, because, boy, the sweat is on. Last Friday night, it was a matchup for our win totals, UCLA and Iowa. And Iowa ends up going to what? A walk-on linebacker at quarterback. It was an absolute disaster for Iowa at the quarterback position. But I got to give credit where credit's due. Deshaun Foster's done a really good job turning this UCLA team around. UCLA's catching four here. I hate the travel spot for Washington. They're at home, but they're coming off the game against Penn State. Short week traveling back from the East Coast. But the note I'll make here, and why I'm a bit optimistic that our win total may not be dead just yet on under UCLA 5.5 wins, Washington, they need this game to get to a bowl game. And I know you could roll your eyes about bowl games, but year one of Jed Fish at Washington, they close out the season against Oregon. They're 5-5 right now. Huskies need this one, so I think the Huskies win this game, but I'm not crazy about laying 4 points. Curious your thoughts on UCLA-Washington.
Yeah, I try not to get too influenced with my win total plays when I'm talking about individual plays on games. And last Friday night, I did put UCLA plus 6.5 up as a play on the VSIN Pro page. And I bet the Bruins last week. Just when we got to that Thursday, I said, I really like the way that situation sets up for UCLA. And it played out that way. So, you know, if you lose the win total play, so be it. But you just got to have to you got to win your bet that night, and you're going to win some, you're going to lose some when it comes to win totals. And the Iowa play was not really a good play anyway. To tell you the truth, we didn't deserve to win it. The Hawkeyes sucked this year. And when they lost the game to Iowa State early in the season and blew that late lead, I figured that win total was going to go down the drain. Well, this is an important one for me. And even though I've got a bet on the Washington win total over 5.5, I'm still going to play the Huskies here. I'm not going to lay the points. I'm probably going to bet Washington money line and just kind of double down here. I'm pretty confident the Huskies are going to get this win. They've had a rough schedule, some ups and downs. But I do believe in what Jed Fish is doing, and Will Rogers is a veteran quarterback. And I think Bruins, been what they've accomplished, has been a little bit of a fluke, and we're going to see a little bit of a regression in the Bruins on Friday night. I'm going to go with the much better coach here, Jed Fish, who, like you said, it's a major emphasis and a big goal for the Huskies to get to a bowl game, and I think they do it here with a win on Friday night.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Washington takes care of business. Last game on the board, we've got Arizona at Houston, and Willie Fritz, you beat me, sir. Congratulations to you. I took under 2.5 conference wins for the Cougars, and they've got three. And when you think about how this season started for Houston, you thought there was no way on God's green earth that this football team could get to three conference wins, but they have turned things around. They've been helped out that Utah was an absolute mess, but looking at Houston in this spot, they're a short road dog, and I want to read this to you, Matt, because there's some rumors floating out there that Brent Brennan could actually be on the hot seat at Arizona. Jason Shear, who covers Arizona for the 247 website Wildcat Authority, put this on the message boards. He said, might as well mention this, and there's no guarantees or anything like that. There is absolutely consideration into getting rid of Brent Brennan. I had an agent contact me saying there's a lot of buzz regarding the job opening up. A coach from another staff also texted me saying they are of the belief it's opening. I also have had enough people tell me the money is there that I am confident in reporting this. Obviously, this thing isn't finalized, but tomorrow feels like a big game. That according to Jason Shear of Wildcat Authority. So do you think Brent Brennan and the Arizona Wildcats, the worst cover team in college football, 1-8, do they rally together to get a win over Houston right now, anywhere from a 1 to a 2-point favorite against the Cougars?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. You going to bet on a bad coach and the worst cover team in college football? No. You know what you just said there, it should not be breaking news to anybody either. I thought Brent Brennan was a bad hire. I said it at the time. He's in way over his head. The Arizona job is too big for him, and it's proven that. Noah Fifita, the quarterback, is taking a big step back this season, too. 61% completions, 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. There's a lot of things that have gone wrong with this Arizona football team, and I don't see that they have the ability to flip the switch here and beat a well-coached Houston team that's surging. Has won 3 Big 12 games on Friday night in Tucson. I fully expect Brent Brennan to be one and done. I think he should get fired, and I think Houston should win this game. I'm going to be on the Cougars on Friday night.
Yeah, I took a little bit on the Cougars as well. You know, maybe it's a sucker play, but I love Willie Fritz. I think this team is rallying behind him. And for Houston, once again, they've already got 3 conference wins. They're at 4 wins on the season. And just taking a look at the remaining schedule here for the Houston Cougars, I mean, this is a spot where, you know, maybe they've got an opportunity to make a bowl game, which would be quite the accomplishment here in year number 1 for Houston. So you look at the remaining schedule for the Cougars, and you know they are sitting with a win over Arizona. You got Baylor at home next week, so certainly an opportunity out there for Houston to sneak into a bowl game. All right, Matt, that's going to do it. Best of luck this weekend, as always, and we will talk to you next week.
You bet. Thanks.
There he is, Matt Eumanns. Follow him on Twitter at MattEumanns247. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.